I'm not sure how many of you can remember the old Charlie Brown cartoons. For those of you who are much younger than me, this is probably the kind of thing that your parents probably read or watched when you were growing up. But if you remember those cartoons, then you might remember that whenever the kids in that cartoon spoke to one another, they sort of spoke to one another in normal language that they could all understand. But whenever a grown-up spoke, it was in these sort of strange wah 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 noises that nobody could actually comprehend. I guess our question this morning, as we come to look at the clarity of Scripture, is God like one of those grown-ups in this old Charlie Brown cartoon? Sort of these stranger wah 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 noises. Is language maybe sufficient for us all to communicate with one another? But yet what God has to say is maybe so hopelessly muddled and so hopelessly confused that we find it virtually impossible to understand. That's a very real question, I think, for us. So I guess many people around us in our culture, and maybe even many of us gathered here this morning, may be asking questions like, well, why isn't the Bible more clear? Why hasn't God made himself a little bit easier to understand? Isn't it all just a sort of matter of interpretation anyway? Surely, if the Bible was more clear, then we wouldn't have all these myriad different views and opinions amongst Christians, would we? Well, all of those are very relevant and very real questions that certainly many around us are asking, and we may be asking some of them as well. And they are all questions to do with this whole subject of the clarity of Scripture. The clarity of Scripture, is the Bible clear? Can we actually understand what God is saying to us? How are we to navigate our way through maybe all the confusion of all these different views and opinions on God's word that we maybe find on the web or wherever? So there's obviously a big topic this morning, but what I would like us to see is that God's word is clear about what is important, and we can understand it when we come to it with a right heart. So God's word is clear about what is important, and we can understand it when we come to it with a right heart. So that's the sort of big picture, and that's where we are heading for the next few minutes. And I'd like us to look at this under sort of three headings, which if you look at your sheets there, you can see them. So number one, God's word is understandable because it is from a speaking God. Number two, God's word is understandable provided we come to it with a right heart, and as we'll see, the help of the Holy Spirit. And number three, God's word is understandable, therefore we can interpret it for ourselves, and we'll see that that's a great privilege and a great responsibility that we have as individual Christians. So then, number one, and we'll spend most of our time this morning on number one, God's word is understandable because it is from a speaking God. So the basic idea of this whole doctrine of the clarity of Scripture is that it is clear and accessible about what God wants us to understand. Now, of course, we're not saying that it's all equally clear. We are not saying that it's easy to understand necessarily. We're not saying that we will be able to understand every single part of it. But what we are saying is that an ordinary person, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can read Scripture and come away with what's important from it, what God wants them to know about him, and how to live for him, and how to relate to him rightly in the world. So let's start with a couple of definitions to head us off in the right direction. So this first one is from something called the Westminster Confession of Faith, and this is what it has to say about the clarity of Scripture. Those things which are necessary to be known, believed, and observed for salvation are clearly propounded, that not only the learned, but the unlearned, in a due sense of the ordinary means, may attain unto a sufficient understanding of them. So that's basically saying that those things which are necessary to know God, that are necessary for salvation, are made clear in the Bible. Here's a more modern and up-to-date way of talking about the clarity of Scripture from a theologian called Wayne Grudem. He writes in his book, "The clarity of Scripture means that the Bible is written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who will read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow it." So again, what he's saying is that God's word is basically clear and accessible to those who read it, seeking God. However, you may well be asking, well, it's all very, very well to have nice quotes like that, quotes from history maybe, but what does the Bible itself actually have to say about its own clarity? And here we see that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that the Bible itself assumes that it is clear and able to be understood. So let's look at a few scriptural examples. First of all, the one there that was read for us on our sheets, Deuteronomy chapter 6. So these are some of the instructions that God gave to ancient Israel through Moses. And Moses says, "These commandments that I gave you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So these verses sort of clearly assume that the people were able to understand God's word for themselves, and that they were also able to sort of teach and communicate that clearly to those around them. It assumes, for instance, that parents, when they're raising their kids, they're able to sort of teach God's word to their kids, and not just in a way which is sort of learning by rote or learning off by heart, but they're actually able to sort of speak about it and discuss it and engage with it. Talk about them when you are at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. God's word is to be accessible and relevant in all of life. We see the same kind of thing as well in the other passage that was read for us, so Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11 to 14. So again, it's Moses speaking to God's ancient people Israel, exhorting them to obey God's word, which he's been speaking to them about. And this is what he has to say about its clarity and accessibility. "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it." And hopefully you can see that that's pretty clear. Moses assumes that God's word is not beyond the people which he's speaking to. He's saying you don't have to go all the way up to heaven to get it. You don't need to sort of cross the farthest ocean and try and bring it back. No, God's word is accessible. It is near you. It is something you can have access to and that you can understand and apply in your life. Some other examples. So we see the same thing in the book of Psalms. So Psalm 1, which you can read later on if you would like, Psalm 1 assumes that the man who loves the law of the Lord will be able to meditate on it and understand it for himself. There'd be no point in meditating on God's word if we couldn't understand it and it wasn't clear enough to apply to our lives. A very well-known verse on the clarity of Scripture, Psalm 119, verse 105, rightly well known, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." God is light. The whole purpose of light is to illuminate things, to illuminate our way and produce clarity. And so when it says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path, it's saying that God's word is essentially clear. It brings things into the light. It illumines the way. It produces clarity in place of obscurity and darkness. And so those are just a few examples from the Old Testament scriptures, but I hope you can see already that God's word is claiming to be essentially clear. And we actually see pretty much the same thing when we come to the New Testament as well. So in the life of Christ, you may know that Christ often quotes from the Old Testament scriptures. And every time that Jesus quotes from the Old Testament scripture, he appeals to it as an authority. And he assumes that the hearers who are listening to him will be able to understand and engage with clearly the point which is being made. Jesus assumes the clarity of the scriptures. Never once does Jesus say anything like, excellent point. Those scriptures were a little bit unclear, weren't they? After all, no, Jesus never says anything like that. Every time he assumes that the Bible is clear, yet it's his hearers who haven't understood it or engaged with it properly. Even though many hundreds of years had often passed between when it was written and when Jesus spoke it, he still assumes that it's clear and relevant and able to be understood by his hearers. And so we see that the Bible is clear. We see the same thing, of course, in Paul's letters as well. Paul wrote his letters to whole churches, and he expected that everybody in those churches that he wrote to in Corinth or Ephesus or wherever, he expected that everyone in them was able to hear and understand what he was actually writing. Again, he assumes it's clarity. He even expected that they would read and understand the letters which he'd written to some of the other groups of Christians as well, even although there were some things in them that were hard to understand. And so I hope you can begin to see that the Bible assumes its own clarity. It assumes its language can be understood. It assumes that its basic meaning will be clear. It is clear about what we really need. Now, that's obviously, just to reiterate, not to say that there are not some hard parts, but it is saying that it is clear about what we really need and what God wants us to get from it. You or I can read it, and you or I can read it with absolute confidence that we can come away with a knowledge of God and all the light that we need to live for him in his world. Many things are clear. The fundamental truths of God's character are clear. The essentials of the gospel are crystal clear. Who Christ is and claimed is crystal clear. How we can be saved and come to know God and live a life that pleases him in his world are all clear. All those things are clear from scripture. As someone has helpfully said, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. Now, I realise that it's going to take a few minutes for that to work through in the darker recesses of most of your minds, but you maybe can speak about it over lunch later on, if you can remember it. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. And if you're not sure what that means, then please do ask me about it afterwards. Okay? But what we're basically saying is that scripture is fundamentally clear. It is saying that this idea that it's all just sort of a matter of interpretation, and it is all just hopelessly confused, and you can make it say anything you want, that is just completely untrue. The fact is that the Bible brings us all the light that we need. It brings us light on the essentials of the Christian faith, those things that we need to know in order to have a relationship with God and live for him. And so therefore, it's not a shock or a surprise for us when we go to some remote part of the world and we find that the Christians there believe many of the same things that we do. It is not a shock for us, therefore, or a surprise when we go to some remote part of the world and we find that Christians there believe many of the same things that we do. That is exactly what we would expect. We would expect Christians, wherever they are found, to believe fundamentally the same things. Why is that? Well, of course, we all have the same Holy Spirit, but we also have the same Bible, which is clear about those things which are really important and which all Christians agree on. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. God's word is understandable. Now, however, someone might come along and they may say something like, well, how can human language speak about God? After all, surely God is greater than the Bible. We can't explain God in mere words. Surely all we can really say about God is that we can't really say anything about God. Surely human language is just not sufficient for us to be clear about who God is and what he is like. This is a sort of a mystical idea, which is very common out there, that we can't really know for sure what God is actually like. And on the face of it, of course, that often sounds very humble and very worshipful, but it is actually fatally flawed. For one thing, I think it forgets that human language is a gift from God. Human language is a gift from God. God is the originator of language. God is the one who invented language. And one of the reasons why God invented language was so that we could know him and so we could understand what he has said in his word. And God's word, of course, as we've seen often in this series, is not the words of human beings to sort of try and explain God. Rather, it is God's revealed word for us. It's a revelation from him into our world so that we can come to know him. God is a speaking God. And if God has spoken to us, then it's fair to assume that he will speak to us in a way that is actually clear. After all, what kind of God would speak to us in a way that was not clear? So we can actually see that it's God's character that is actually at stake in this whole discussion, God's character as a God who speaks and as a God who reveals himself in his world. Is God good enough to make himself known to us? Is God gracious and loving and merciful enough to speak in a way that we can understand? Is it likely that God, if he exists, would shroud himself in sort of abject mystery so that we can't know him? Well, surely the answer is no, that all we know about God is that he's likely to make himself clear. God's word is understandable because he is a speaking God. And so I really hope there's great encouragement for us here this morning. If we are depressed at all the arguments which seem to go on about scripture, if we are discouraged maybe about all the skeptics who say that God's word is not clear or it's all just a matter of your own individual interpretation, and we need to remember this sort of one great resounding truth, that basically the Bible is clear. God is light and God speaks, and therefore God's word is light for us. It is his word. It brings clarity to our lives. And actually, it is clear on all of the important things about the Christian faith. The amazing thing is actually not that there's so many arguments. The amazing thing, surely, is that there is so much agreement between all Christians on what the main parts of the faith actually are. And then if you're here this morning and you're someone who's not a Christian yet, then this is also really helpful for you to grasp. You see, this assures you that the Bible is clear and you can actually understand it when you read it and engage with it. If you're here and you aren't a Christian and you want to know God, you want to know what God is like and how you can come to know him, then read it. That's all you need to do. Read it, and you can be sure that God will speak from its pages and reveal himself to you. God's word is understandable because he is a speaking God. However, we also need to move on and look at some of the qualities that we need to understand God's word. And so we also see, number two, God's word is understandable provided we come to it with a right heart. So we've been speaking about the fact that God's word is clear. So why then do we find some aspects of it so difficult to understand? Why are there so many arguments and disagreements between Christians who seem to believe a lot of the same things about most of it? Well, there might be a couple of reasons. Reason number one might be that the Bible is actually quiet on the particular questions that we are asking. So if we come to the Bible asking which political party we are to vote for, who we should vote for in the US presidential election campaign maybe, what is the ideal size of church, whether we ought to eat organic food or not, whether we ought to homeschool our kids, then we're going to end up arguing about lots of those things because actually Scripture hasn't spoken directly on those issues. But then another and much more common reason might be because our hearts are actually wrong and we're in the wrong place ourselves to hear and understand God's word with clarity. So there's maybe something in ourselves that makes it hard for us to understand God's word. And I think we see this unpacked for us very helpfully in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus frequently interacted with those people around him who hadn't understood him or understood God's word. Yet in all the interactions that he had, he never once blamed God's word for being unclear. He always laid blame, interestingly, on the state of heart of those who were listening. So let's just look at a list of things which he said to some of the people who heard him. Are you still so dull? Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. It's a pretty incredible list, right? And actually, we could have made that list an awful lot longer. But that just gives some idea of some of the things which Jesus has to say on this whole subject. He never blames the scriptures for being unclear. But yet he frequently says the reason why we do not hear God is because of the wrong state of our own hearts. We might be ignorant. We might be too mired in our own religious traditions to hear what God wants to say. We might be too slow or too foolish. We might be afraid, or we just might be in abject rebellion against God and aren't interested in doing his will in our lives. We might refuse to hear his word. Our hearts might be calloused. All sorts of reasons why we might not hear or understand scripture with any clarity. Now, I know that this might not cover every issue, it might not cover every instance, but it probably covers more of them than most of us are probably willing to recognize. But you see, the problem's not so much with God's word, but the problem can be in our own hearts. As I was reflecting on this during the week, I thought, isn't it interesting how we often assume the opposite of what Jesus says here? So Jesus assumes that it's God's word that is clear, and it is us who are confused. Whereas I think that most of us, if you're anything like me, we probably assume that we are basically clear, and it's God's word that is actually confused. We tend to think that we are the ones who are sort of able to see everything absolutely clearly and everything logically, but yet it's God's word that is so hard to understand and so hopelessly muddled and confused. So it's interesting, isn't it, that Christ seems to say exactly the opposite. He seems to say, well, actually, have you thought about the fact it might be you that is confused? If God's word's not clear, then maybe, first of all, we need to check our own hearts. Is it really the case that we are not ignorant, or we are not fearful, or we are not slow to believe, or we are not rebellious? And so I think what Jesus has to say here is surely really challenging for us. Jesus says we need to make sure that we are not closing our eyes or closing our ears to what God says just because we don't want to hear it and engage with it in our lives. He's saying some of you can maybe put up so many smoke screens about God's word not being clear, but yet actually the real problem is that we just don't want to do what it actually says. We can be like those little kids, and my kids are just reaching this stage now where they'll put their fingers in their ears, okay? Because the last thing they actually want to do is sort of hear what you're asking them to do. And Jesus says we can be exactly the same. What we need, rather, are new hearts. And that leads us on to the other important point we need to make here, which is about the role of the Holy Spirit in coming to Scripture. So look quickly with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And there's a lot more in this verse, and we've got time to go into, but one thing that this verse is saying is that we can never understand the Bible unless we have the help of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who works in us to overcome the effects of sin and to open our eyes so that we can understand and receive what God is saying to us in his word. Of course, we need Christ and his work on the cross to take away our sin and rebellion, our pride, our ignorance, our hardness of our heart towards God. And then we also need the Holy Spirit, who comes and lives within us. He gives us a new heart to love God and a new desire to read his word and to spend time in it. Even then, of course, we may still be rebellious or proud or rooted in our old ways or mired in our religious traditions. But yet God's Spirit increasingly works in us over the course of our Christian lives to know God more and to understand what he has said in his word. Here in Hong Kong, we take great pride in being clever. We know lots of clever people, probably in our workplaces, who are able to make lots of money. We respect those who have PhDs from a good university. We love it when our kids get good exam results or when our kids get into a good school or uni. Yet we really need to remember that understanding God's word is not a matter of intellect or being clever. It's not a matter of intellect or being clever. Rather, the qualities that are required to understand God's word are actually spiritual and moral. A heart to know God and asking for the help of his Holy Spirit to help us understand what it means. And so if you are struggling to understand some aspect of scripture at the moment, maybe you will at some other point in your life. We need to start with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for his illumination and ask for his help to understand the words that he inspired. There may be other useful things that we can do as well by way of practical advice. If we are new to the Christian faith, or if we find something confusing and hard to understand at the moment, I think it's probably good advice to start and begin with what your church already believes. You have to have a starting point somewhere, and that, for my money, seems as good as any. So start with what your church already believes on a particular issue. Then I think we need to evaluate the persuasiveness of that from Scripture. We need to ask questions like, is this actually what Scripture clearly teaches on this particular issue? Is this what these verses of the Bible mean when we read them in context? It might be useful to speak with your church pastor, maybe, or an older Christian whom you really know and respect, or maybe read some material by a reputable author, perhaps. So lots of things that we can sort of practically do to make progress in understanding God's word. But I think we need to remember that the most important thing is always to keep reading and keep praying and asking for God's help and a heart to know him. If we do that, we can be absolutely confident that God will guide us and lead us into his truth, and he will give us the understanding that we need. We can claim with confidence the promise of Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. God's word is understandable, provided we come to it with a right heart. And then finally, we also see God's word is understandable, therefore we can interpret it for ourselves. This is really one of the implications of the clarity of Scripture, that we do not need some external authority to come along and tell us what it means, some sort of council of bishops or magisterium. Maybe all Christians, individual Christians, have the privilege and the responsibility of interpreting Scripture for themselves. I think this is really important for us to grasp, especially because of a lot of the cultural pressure that we are under as a church at the moment. You see, I think some of us, we basically take the view that I couldn't ever understand what the Bible says. It's all so confused, therefore I will just leave it to the professionals. There's also a sort of idea which goes around a lot that we can't really know what the Bible means, and therefore we should just shrug our shoulders and just go with the flow. We're told there's so many interpretations, it's all a matter of interpretation anyway. We can't know for sure what God's really saying, therefore we should all just do whatever feels right and loving at the moment. And those are very real cultural pressures that all of us here will be under. And that's why this whole doctrine of the clarity of Scripture is so important. See, one of the great glories of this belief is that it magnifies the freedom and the responsibility of the individual Christian to interpret God's word for themselves. Every Christian has the Bible. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living in their heart. And therefore, every Christian has the privilege and responsibility of reading and interpreting God's word for themselves in their own lives. It's a great privilege that we have, and it's actually a great privilege that has come to us at great cost. So a quick historical sketch for you. William Tyndale was a man who lived in England between 1494 and 1536. Previous to him in England, the Bible was largely only in Latin, which basically very few people could actually read, and predominantly only in the hands of the priests and the hierarchy of what was the Roman Catholic Church at that time. And William Tyndale quite literally gave his life to put the Bible into the hands of ordinary people. Someone in the hierarchy of the church once tried to stop him, and he replied with these words. He said, "If God spares my life, before many years I will cause a boy that driveth the plough to know more of Scripture than you do." He was certainly brave, if not anything else. And of course, the boy that sort of was to push the plough in the fields would have been one of the most menial jobs. It was really talking about the language of the ordinary people. And that was William Tyndale's great aim. He aimed to make the Bible accessible to everyone, so that everyone could come to read and know and understand and engage with God's word, not just some sort of hierarchy or elite in the church. Eventually, he was strangled and then burnt by the authorities, but not before he had translated the Bible into the English language, which was the language of the common people at that time where he lived. And so surely his legacy and what we've been hearing about the clarity of Scripture is that if we're Christians, we should appreciate what we actually have. We need to rejoice and give thanks that we have God's word in a language that we can actually read and understand and engage with. And that's not something that we can take for granted. We need to pray for the 1,800 languages in our world that currently have no part of God's word at all. It's around, I think, 6,500 languages in the world, and 1,800 of them haven't got any portion of God's word at all. And we need to pray for it to be translated so that it can grow and continue to spread. And we especially maybe need to grapple with this great privilege and responsibility which is ours, to wrestle with it in our own lives and to not give up on that. Now, it's obviously true that teachers and scholars and various experts who write books can help us on our way. But yet we still have an individual responsibility, each of us, to grapple with God's word for ourselves and not just believe what we are told unquestioningly. The issues may be different for each of us gathered here, depending on how long we've been a Christian and the stage of life which we are actually at, whether it's what the Bible teaches about sexuality or predestination or the roles of men or women or spiritual gifts or why Jesus came to earth and died on the cross. There might be many issues where God is calling you at the moment to do some research and to dig deeper into his word. What's the issue for you? Will we actually do it? Will we believe that God's word is actually clear on the issues which we are facing in our lives? Will we seek him? Will we seek the help of his Holy Spirit and ask for help from those around us where we need to, and do the hard work of actually looking at the Bible for ourselves? If we do, I guarantee that you'll find that will be incredibly helpful for your Christian life. We'll go deeper into our relationship with God. We'll grow up to maturity in Christ. We'll get to know him more and more and have a much greater grasp of how he wants us to live. See, if we understand the clarity of Scripture, the fact that God's word is clear should surely drive us to engage with God's word deeper and deeper with greater eagerness. Its meaning is not hidden. Its meaning is not mysterious. We have what we need. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not just pastors and scholars and the sort of so-called experts out there who can understand it rightly. Rather, that's a task which is given to all Christians, and it's a great privilege and a great responsibility that we all have if we are followers of Christ. God's word is understandable. Therefore, we can interpret it for ourselves without a reference to any sort of external counsel or authority. And so hopefully we've seen this morning that God is not like the grown-ups on that cartoon which we started off with, just speaking in those sort of wah, wah, wah noises. Rather, God is a God who speaks with clarity about what is really important. God's word is clear about what is important, and we can understand it if we are seeking his help. His plan of salvation is clear, how we can come to know him through Christ, and his death on the cross for us is clear. The question for us as we go into this coming week, as we hopefully spend time reading God's word for ourselves, is will we have open ears and open hearts to receive what he has to say? Will we pray with the psalmist, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law"? Let's pray together.